All this year, NPR's looking at the tumultuous events of 1968 that continue to shape our lives. 50 years ago today, in what is now known as the My Lai Massacre, American soldiers in Vietnam killed more than 500 civilians in 4 hours. It remains one of the darkest chapters in the history of the U.S. military. At the nation's service academies, that massacre is now part of the curriculum, which is where NPR's Quil Lawrence begins his report on My Lai 50 years later.
First of all, is discrimination. What is discrimination all about? Between civilians and other soldiers, or combatants and non-combatants?
It's like the soldiers have to decide between...
Major Logan Sisson is teaching a class on the laws of war to cadets at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. A lot of that boils down to basic questions. Whom must you protect, and whom can you shoot?
Like, what are legitimate targets and what's not?
What's a legitimate target and what is not? Because not just people.
He lays out scenarios for discussion, things these cadets might someday have to decide. One involves an enemy commander, a legitimate target for an airstrike.
Unfortunately, he will be traveling with an entourage, which includes 2 members of his operations staff, 5 bodyguards, 2 wives, and 3 children.
Cadet Megan Guiney asks about the target's value.
What does he provide for the war effort again?
Cadet Bridger Barker says no.
Bridger, I'll probably go no because of due care, because we will kill his children and his wives, and they're non-combatants.
Cadet Lydia Knudsen is leaning yes.
Because, I mean, it's him and 7 other soldiers to 5 civilians, and he's, like, killing a lot of people, so, like, relatively speaking.
The talk is hypothetical. This class hasn't studied My Lai yet.
Was that where it was in Vietnam where we had some of our American soldiers killing civilians, and a couple of the officers told them, if you kept killing civilians, we're going to start killing you?
Not exactly. On March 16, 1968, Army Captain Ernest Medina told his soldiers that a string of hamlets, including My Lai, would be full of enemy troops and empty of civilians. When they landed, it turned out to be the opposite. But Charlie Company, encouraged by a young lieutenant named William Calley, spent 4 hours murdering civilians and burning their homes. Michael Bernhardt and Gary Garfolo were in Charlie Company that day.
You know, this is going to be a free-for-all. You can shoot anything you want, anything that moves.
Said, shoot everything. Man, woman, children, and the whole bit, everything that could aid the VC, you know, every living thing, that was sort of like the order. Some guys might have just flipped. There's people that are capable of doing that in those conditions.
What in effect he said was that the village would be destroyed and all the people in it and so on.
These recordings come from the Oscar-winning documentary Interviews with My Lai Veterans. Bernardo Simpson is another soldier featured in that film.
Our captain, Medina, was telling us about we was going in and burn down and kill everything that was in the village. And that we would leave nothing standing. That's women, children, babies, cows, cats, anything. And when we got off the chopper, we started shooting. And this lady got up and she ran and turned and had her back turned to me. And my platoon leader, Lieutenant Lacrosse, told me to shoot her. And I said, no, well, you shoot her. I don't want to shoot no lady, you know. So he said, well, I'm giving you a direct order to shoot. And if you don't shoot her, as you can be shot yourself. So as she'd been putting her foot in the door, I shot her about 5 or 6 times. And I went there and turned over, and there was a little 3-month-old baby.
Simpson said the baby was dead. Other soldiers say women were raped and mutilated. More than 200 children, many of them herded into a ditch and machine-gunned. Journalist Seymour Hersh broke the story in November of 1969. At first, the Army tried to cover it up. Now, the military teaches it at West Point, the Naval Academy at Annapolis, and here at the Air Force Academy.
That's a very bad example, but...
It's a different class later in the day, and Major Sisson has now taken out a picture of himself standing next to 2 Vietnam veterans.
I got a picture of me with... On the my right is Hugh Thompson, and on the left is Larry Colburn. If we can use the term heroes. If there were any heroes at My Lai, it was them.
Hugh Thompson was a chopper pilot. He died in 2006, but here's an old interview he gave NPR.
So we then sat down. 2 guys, I think it was, came over to the aircraft. Yeah, what do y'all want? You know, well, there's some civilians over in that ditch. You know, can you help them out? And they said, well, we can help them out of their misery. Oh, man, come on. Quit joking around. How about helping them out? Yeah, okay. And they walked away. And as we took off, we heard machine gun fire. You know, I said, my God, they're shooting into the ditch. And then that's when there was no use fooling ourselves anymore about what was going on.
Hugh Thompson landed his helicopter between American soldiers and civilians, and he said to Larry Colburn, his gunner, point your gun that way, and if they shoot any more civilians, shoot them.
Thompson and Larry Colburn and their crew chief, Glenn Andreotta, are heroes today, but it took 30 years for the Army to recognize that with the Soldier's Medal awarded in 1998. It was different 50 years ago. When Lieutenant William Calley went on trial, Hugh Thompson was shunned for testifying against him. Calley was the only one punished for the massacre, and public opinion supported him. There was even a song that made the top 40 in 1971.
My name is William Calley. I'm a soldier of this land. I've tried to do my duty and to gain the upper hand. But they've made me out a villain. They have stamped me with a brand. As we go.
That public support made it easy for President Richard Nixon to reduce Calley's sentence to house arrest. He served only 3.5 years. He's still alive and lives in Georgia. There was little accountability, and that's another lesson from My Lai which still resonates. John Sifton of Human Rights Watch researched war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan. He points to the Haditha massacre in Iraq, 2005. U.S. Marines killed 24 civilians, including women and children, after a bomb attack on their unit.
In the end, only one person was held accountable, and it wasn't a very serious punishment.
Sifton says the military justice system usually gives senior officers a pass, and without real punishments, abuses will continue.
There were officers at the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan where there were also serious abuses, including several deaths in custody. The officers who were involved got away with it, and they went on to Iraq where they committed abuses.
Haditha is not comparable to My Lai, but the point is soldiers should still study it, says Ike Wilson, a former Army colonel.
I know through my whole 33 years of professional military service, both soldiering as well as a professor at West Point, My Lai's been really a centerpiece with regard to the ethics of war.
Wilson served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He says My Lai spurred changes like ending the draft. Volunteer officers are much better trained and educated. But he says the modern high-tech military isn't immune to the risk.
10,000 miles away, prosecuting warfare through the activities of armed drones. Might that be the new face of potential My Lai's of our contemporary times in the future?
There's a museum in My Lai now with a plaque listing all the names and the ages of the 504 people killed that day. American tourists, including Vietnam vets, regularly visit. And back at the Air Force Academy, Major Sisson is wrapping up his lesson.
Who are going to be our future heroes? I mean, hopefully we can prevent this in the future, but when we can't, who are going to be the heroes to stop it once it starts?
Cadet John Wendt has an answer of sorts.
Throughout history, militaries, no matter how good or how benevolent, have always slipped up at some point. And I think the reason why America's military is different is that America owned up and we said, we're going to fix this. We're going to try and be better than that. And I think that's why we're talking about it. You know, we're not pushing it underneath a rug.
And the class is dismissed. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Colorado Springs.